Good morning, and welcome to worship at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. We've got quite a few announcements this morning. One, next Saturday morning is the Bluegill Bash in memory of Gary Hedrick. We've got some posters up. This is in the newsletter. Tina Hedrick is here, and she will be selling tickets probably right outside these doors after worship. So tickets are $5. You bring your own equipment. It's going to be a really fun morning. So please come out and support. That's right. Yes, Hunter was really clear that because his papa loved the Brotherhood so much that he wanted to help raise money for the Brotherhood in memory of his papa. So all proceeds are going to the Lutheran Men in Mission. It's almost summertime, and although I'm not quite ready for the humidity, I think it's coming, ready or not. And we are going to have some special music offered this summer during the offertory. This sign-up sheet is going to be taped on the cabinet door in the narthex if you would like to sign up to offer special music one of the Sundays this summer. I want to thank you for your grace and understanding last weekend as I was really struggling with my asthma. It wasn't how I wanted my first Sunday back after vacation to be, but you were so gracious and kind. And although I don't even remember what I preached about, I hope it made sense. And if it didn't, at least you still looked at me and smiled and nodded. So thank you. We want to pray God's blessing on the marriage of Anna and Stephen Nelson, who were married last night. Anna Clark is the daughter of Neil and Terry Clark. She was a beautiful, beautiful bride, and Neil and Terry were very proud parents. The scholarship gift card raffle is underway. Joe is collecting gift cards, and the raffle will be June 12th, which is three or four Sundays out. But if you want to buy tickets, Amy has some tickets in the back. Are you selling them? Oh, no, Joe's here. Excuse me. You're just buying. Thank you for supporting the raffle. Joe's here selling tickets, so you can give him some gift cards for the raffle or buy the tickets. We offered up last Sunday that we are going to be replacing our chimes system in memory of Etta Lee Conrad. If you would like to contribute toward that, please write a check with chimes written in the memo. We are hoping within the next couple of months to help make this happen, so if you'd like to contribute, please do so. Tomorrow night is the women's banquet at 6:30. Also this week is our senior citizens group, which is now being relocated to the office complex here at Holly Grove. We have taken on a card writing ministry in the last few months that's been really well received. We write cards to the folks on our prayer list, as well as the prayer list of the other churches that the folks belong to. And then worship and music is also this week. And just to have it on your radar, March 29th is going to be graduation Sunday. Ty Heitman is our high school graduate, and we also want to recognize William Curry and Jay Proctor, who have graduated from college this year. March 29th? May 29th. They both start with M. Maybe I'm dreaming of less humid days. And then also today is the third Sunday, so we'll be taking up the basket offering, which will be going to the Teen Parent Program. We've got a couple birthdays this week, Mickey Conrad, which is tomorrow, and April Bunton, and then also this week, Mickey and Carol have a wedding anniversary. Let's pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us now prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. Alleluia, Christ is risen. In the waters of baptism, we have passed over from death to life with Jesus Christ, and we are a new creation. For this saving mystery and for this water, let us bless God, who was, who is, and who is to come. We thank you, God, for your river of life flowing freely from your throne, through the earth, through the city, through every living thing. You rescued Noah and his family from the flood. You opened wide the sea for the Israelites. And now in these waters, you flood us with mercy, and our sin is drowned forever. You open the gate of righteousness, and we pass safely through. In Jesus Christ, you calm and trouble the waters. You nourish us and enclose us in safety. You call us forth and send us out. In lush and barren places, you are with us. You have become our salvation. Now breathe upon this water and awaken your church once more. Claim us again as your beloved and holy people. Quench our thirst. Cleanse our hearts. Wipe away every tear. To you, our beginning and our end, our shepherd and lamb, be glory and honor, praise and thanksgiving, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O Lord God, you teach us that without love our actions gain nothing. Pour into our hearts your most excellent gift of love, that made alive by your Spirit, we may know goodness and peace. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The first reading for the fifth Sunday of Easter is from the 11th chapter of Acts. Now the apostles and the believers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also accepted the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him, saying, "Why did you go to uncircumcised men and eat with them?" Then Peter began to explain to them step by step, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. There was something like a large sheet coming down from heaven, being lowered by its four corners, and it came close to me. As I looked at it closely, I saw four-footed animals, beasts of prey, reptiles and birds of the air. I also heard a voice saying to me, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." But I replied, "By no means, Lord, for nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth." But a second time the voice answered from heaven, "What God has made clean, you must not call profane." This happened three times. Then everything was pulled up again to heaven. At that very moment, three men sent to me from Caesarea arrived at the house where we were. The Spirit told me to go with them and not to make a distinction between them and us. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, "Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is also called Peter. He will give you a message by which you and your entire household will be saved." And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell among them, just as it had among us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said, "John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." If then God gave them the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God? When they heard this, they were silenced, and they praised God, saying, "Then God has given even to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life." Word of God, word of life. Let us read the psalm responsively. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord from the heavens.
Praise God in the heights.
Praise the Lord, all you angels.
Sing praise to all you hosts of heaven.
Praise the Lord, sun and moon.
Sing praise to all you shining stars.
Praise the Lord, heaven of heavens.
And you waters.
Let them praise the name of the Lord,
who commanded and they were created,
who made them stand fast forever and ever,
giving them a law that shall not pass away.
Praise the Lord from the earth,
you see monsters and all beasts,
fire and hail, snow and fog,
tempestuous winds, doing God's will,
mountains and all hills,
fruit trees and all cedars,
wild beast and all cattle,
creeping things and flying birds,
sovereigns of the earth and all peoples,
princes and all rulers of the world,
young men and maidens,
old and young together,
let them praise the name of the Lord,
whose name only is exalted, whose splendor is over earth and heaven.
The Lord has raised up strength for the people and praise for all faithful servants.
The children of Israel, a people who are near the Lord. Hallelujah.
The second reading is from the 21st chapter of Revelations. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. God will dwell with them. They will be God's people, and God's very self will be with them. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." And he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to John, the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should also love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message. Hi, Conrad. Thank you for serving as acolyte today. Hello, Calvin. Have you seen this new thing on social media where somebody is getting their hair cut and there are two options on paper and they point to one of the options and that's what they have to get done? Well, I want to do something kind of similar for you guys today. Would you like a children's sermon on the passage that Miss Debbie read from Acts, on the Psalm, or on the passage from Revelation? The Psalm? Does that sound okay to you? Okay. So this is a really fun Psalm. This Psalm is read twice a year, on the fifth Sunday after Easter, and on the Sunday after Christmas. Isn't that interesting? So right after Jesus was born, this Psalm is read, and it's praising God for God creating all the things, and it's calling all creatures and all the earth to praise God. So to praise God is like calling out and naming what God has done. And what's interesting, I think, is that we often think about humans praising God, but humans aren't listed in this Psalm until the very, very end. Listen to all of these things that the psalmist is telling to praise God. The sun and the moon, the stars, sea monsters and all the creatures of the sea, the fire and hail and snow and fog, mountains and hills, creeping things and flying birds. Have you ever thought about these animals, these creatures, these parts of creation praising God? Because most often when we think about praising God, don't we think about doing it with words or songs? So if the sun and the stars and the moon and things of the deep and the ocean, if they can't praise God with words, how do you think they praise God? They do it in their mind. What else do you think? So I have a picture here of a whale. Have you ever seen a picture of a whale, or maybe a whale in real person, where they jump up out of the water and kind of do a spin and go back in? Do you think that could be a way that a whale praises God? That we can also praise God with our bodies? And I think there's one more way that we can praise God that all of these things do. What's that?
With your heart.
With your heart. Yes, that's a really good answer. And some of these things, I think they praise God just by being who God created them to be and just by existing. When God created us as humans, God called us very, very good. And so maybe just by existing, we can praise God and honor God. So maybe when you go home and Arlo's being a wild man, or maybe some of your cats are being a little feisty, maybe they're praising God. I don't know. But all creation praises God and gives God thanks for all the things that God does. Well, let's pray. Good morning, God. Thank you for today. And for each other. Thank you for creating us and the entire world. Help us to be aware of all of the ways that the rest of creation praises you. Join our hearts and our bodies and our minds in praise with theirs. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for coming up. You may go back to your seats. Grace, mercy, and peace to you. From God, our Father, and our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen. Now, lest you think I'm off my rocker here and have really gotten myself confused and disoriented about what day it is, I'll remind you that in the church, it's still Easter. Remember, for us, Easter isn't just a one-day celebration. The resurrection is so magnificent and so amazing that we need 50 days to celebrate. That's 7 Sundays, a whole week of Sundays to come together in Eastertide to celebrate the resurrection. We live by a different calendar in the church because we have a different story to tell. We get to tell the story about God's love for us and for all of creation. And we get to tell the story that in and through Christ's life, death, and resurrection, sin and death have been defeated, and all things are being made new. So for us, yes, it still is Easter, and there are many indications of that in our worship service. We are continuing to say, Christ is risen. Alleluia. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. During Eastertide, instead of a confession each Sunday to begin our worship service, we begin with a thanksgiving for baptism. Because in baptism, we are joined to Christ in his death, and we are joined to him in his resurrection into the gift of new life. In Eastertide, we say the Nicene Creed every Sunday. We still have our white paraments up, and we're still singing Easter hymns because Easter isn't over. We are still celebrating the resurrection and celebrating Christ's victory over death. And we're still trying to wrap our minds around and understand what the resurrection means for the way that we live our lives every single day. Catholic priest Richard Rohr says this: resurrection is the moment that defines the meaning of all other moments. The resurrection of Christ defines all the other moments. And so today, as we think more about Jesus' resurrection in this gospel passage that we also read on Maundy Thursday, we are transported back to the night in which Jesus was betrayed, to the night of the Last Supper, to the meal where Jesus took off his robe and assumed the role of a servant by washing his disciples' feet. Jesus was showing his disciples and us by example what he meant when he said, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should also love one another. Interestingly enough, in John's gospel, the meal isn't the focus of this story when we're reading about the Last Supper. The meal is the backdrop in which the foot washing happens. And that's where our attention really needs to rest. because it's during the foot washing that Jesus reveals what love means. To offer just a little bit of context, in ancient Mediterranean cultures, foot washing was commonplace. Not everyone in Jesus' day wore sandals, and even if they did, the roads weren't paved, and the sidewalks weren't paved. So whether or not they wore sandals, their feet got really dusty and really, really dirty. So when someone would arrive at someone else's home, as an act of hospitality, the host would provide a basin of water for one to wash off the dust on their feet. If the host had a servant, they would also offer the servant to clean the feet. But if not, the individual would wash their own feet. Because never, ever, ever, ever was it appropriate for even the most hospitable host to wash their guest's feet. Never. But that's exactly what Jesus did. When they were already in the middle of a meal, not when they arrived at the house, but when they were in the middle of the meal, Jesus got up from the table. He took off his outer robe and tied a towel around himself. He poured water into a basin and began to wash and dry the disciples' feet. He took on the garb and the position of a servant. Now for us, 2,000 years later, we aren't shocked by this. In fact, it's become a really meaningful ritual in our Holy Week practices. We had a lovely, lovely, meaningful foot washing ceremony here on Maundy Thursday. But for Jesus' disciples that night, this act of foot washing would have been absolutely unthinkable and very offensive. If we were to have read Peter's words, which many of you might remember, Peter says, no, you're not going to wash my feet. Peter didn't want Jesus to take on the role of a servant because Jesus had taken the way that things were supposed to be done and had destroyed it and abolished it and turned it absolutely upside down. Peter didn't want Jesus to take on the role of a servant because that's not how power and authority were supposed to work. And think about it, even more than that, Jesus knew that Judas would betray him. He knew that Peter would deny him. And he washed their feet anyway. Jesus wasn't just turning things upside down by washing their feet. He was making them absolutely unrecognizable. Jesus wasn't denied and betrayed by strangers. He was denied and betrayed by his own disciples, people who he had chosen to follow him, who'd followed him for 3 years, who knew Jesus, who heard his teachings, who saw his miracles. They were the ones who betrayed and denied him. And knowing it, he washed their feet anyway. He revealed the true depth of his love for them by loving them with a love that is incomprehensible to the human mind. He loved them with a love that has no expectations, with a love that doesn't have any limits. Because God is love and Jesus is God, Jesus has a radically different understanding of love than what we humans do. Jesus loves with a self-giving, self-emptying, and sacrificial kind of love. And it's this unthinkable, incomprehensible, and offensive kind of love that Jesus calls his followers and calls us to imitate. After washing their feet, Jesus gave his disciples a new commandment. Now, the commandment to love wasn't new. There are commandments all the way back in Leviticus that talk about loving others. What was new is the understanding that Jesus was giving his disciples about love. To love others like he had loved them when he washed their feet. By taking any human convention and throwing it absolutely out the window. Now, too often, this command to love others as Jesus has loved us has been mistranslated and misinterpreted into a very bland personal platitude, something like, be kind to one another or serve others. And that's nice, but that's not what Jesus meant in this passage. The kind of love that Jesus is commanding his disciples to imitate is the opposite of warm and fuzzy. It's the opposite of sweet and sentimental. Jesus is calling us to imitate a kind of love that startles and surprises. Jesus is calling us to radically love those who would betray us and reject us, to love others in ways that aren't expected, to love others in ways that turn our expectations and the expectations of others absolutely upside down, to love others in ways that upset and offend people. If we think that the ways that we love others shouldn't upset or offend other people, we would be mistaken, because the ways that Jesus loved others upset and angered and offended people all the time. You see, the gospel isn't good news to everyone. Blessed are the poor. God's love for the poor and God's call for us to give to the poor isn't good news to those who don't want to give to the poor, to those who want to hang on tightly to what they have. And God's love isn't good news for everyone either, because there are plenty of Christians out there who want to decide who's in and who's out, who's worthy of God's love and who isn't. People who want to control and limit God's love to only certain kinds of people. To these kind of folks, the fact that God's love has no limits and no boundaries and no expectations, that's just not going to be good news to them. So if we think that the way that we love others, like Jesus has loved us, isn't going to upset or offend or anger people, we're mistaken, because it is. And before we forget that this isn't a suggestion or a recommendation, this is a commandment that Jesus gives us. Jesus commands us to live out the same kind of love and service that he has for us, for others. We are to give of ourselves as he gave of himself for us, without restriction, without limits, without boundaries, without any exceptions. May God give us the strength and the grace to offend and upset people by the way that we love others. And may God grant us the courage to continue to turn the world upside down by loving others as Jesus has loved us. Amen.
Thank you.
Together, in trust and hope, let us confess our faith with the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Alive in the risen Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we bring our prayers before God, who promises to hear us and answer in steadfast love. Loving God, lead us to follow your Spirit rather than our own prejudices or desires as the Church cares for one another. Open us to perceive your gifts in those we least expect. Lord, in your mercy, inspire us to praise you through the beauty and majesty of the natural world around us. Urge us toward more deliberate care of the world you have made. Lord, in your mercy, humble the rulers of nations before your splendor. Direct them to the people who need their attention most, and turn them from the temptation to hoard wealth or power. Guide them to lead with peace and justice. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Hasten to dwell among those who are in pain or distress, especially Dean, Teresa, Jean, Gary and Judy, Bill, John, Mike, Latifa, Sandra, Jana, Carrie, Joe, Myra and Joe, our friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those we now name aloud on our lips and silently in our hearts. As Christ enters our deepest suffering, remain with those experiencing despair and great need. Lord, in your mercy, place holy love at the center of all our relationships and communities. By your love, heal us, convict us, and renew us. Let everyone know your goodness by the love we show one another. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Give us a place in the diverse company of your beloved saints. Teach us the value of each person's identity, and bless us with a shared identity as your children, kindred of Christ. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
I invite you to share Christ's peace with those around you. Thank you.
Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us and what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love, through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Let
us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It
is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and Merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, and with the angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord took bread, gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The risen Christ dwells with us here. All who are hungry, all who are thirsty, come. This is the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Kim, the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given and shed for you. Tony, the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given and shed for you. Judy, the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given and shed for you. Mickey, the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given and shed for you. Mickey, the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
This feast, the body and blood of your Son. By your Spirit, strengthen us to serve all in need and to give ourselves away as bread for the hungry. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world. Alleluia. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Go in peace. Share the good news. Alleluia. Alleluia.